Boy, that's so small and chain.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so we are. I'm Stephen Andrew Kometz. This is I'm interviewing Brooke Sargent, Charlie Flaherty. And first question I'd like to ask you is, when did you join the military and why did you decide to join the military?
Well, I wanted to go in the Navy.
In the Navy.
And I went to the airport to see about going in the Navy, and they lied to me. They told me that between, I had a wife and two children at the time, and they said that my salary would come up, my allowance, and my salary would come up the same thing as making a civilian life.
Okay.
So I decided to go in the Navy, and we both decided, my wife and myself decided to go in the Navy.
Okay.
But then, like I say, when I went to the Navy, they transferred me over to the Army.
Yeah.
In railroad men.
Because you worked at the Long Island Railroad.
Over there.
You worked for the Long Island Railroad before you joined the...
5 years I was on the Long Island Railroad.
Okay.
Before I went into service. Yeah, so I was qualified yard master and conductor for the Long Island Railroad. And that's what they needed in the Army.
Okay.
So, anyway, like I say, I went to camp up there for about a week. And they took all the paperwork, and then they sent us to New Orleans.
To New Orleans?
Yeah, Camp Lachey in New Orleans.
Okay.
And we had after 6 weeks training. And from there we went to New York Harbor to go overseas. And that was Christmas Eve, and we left Christmas morning. I remember it was just getting daylight when we went by the Statue of Liberty going out. Christmas morning.
It's kind of symbolic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know, you're going out and seeing the Statue of Liberty, most people, when they come in, they see it.
Yeah.
But,
well, everybody's howling.
Yeah.
We'll be back. And I was howling, I'll never be back again. I didn't think I'd ever come back.
Oh, okay.
But like I say, the water was so rough.
Yeah.
I was out at sea. And it took us between 14 and 18 days. To get the Fancy Wales, England.
18 days? Wow.
Yeah. Well, they weren't sure. They said we'd only make maybe a mile a day.
Wow.
The rough would seem so rough. So anyway, we got there and we were in Fancy Wales for about a month, I guess. And we took over a camp that used to be for basic training for the English soldiers.
Yeah.
And that was an awful camp. There was no showers, no nothing. The beds were just wood beds put together, things
so,
like that, 2x4s
put
together for beds. And from there we went to cross the English Channel
to France.
Into France, Le Havre, France, landed there.
Yeah.
And we left from Le Havre, France. I mean, the ships couldn't get into the docks.
Yeah,
because there was so much damage and so many ships blowing up during the invasion.
Yeah, during D-Day.
So we dropped off, and in high water, about 5 foot high water, we had to walk in. This was in January.
Oh, man.
We had to walk in.
Did they give you like a special,
no special boots,
glasses or anything? You just wear basic army pants going into
the
problem.
It's up
below freezing water.
That's all.
Oh man, it's like that.
And then we went from there, we loaded trucks, open trucks, big open trucks, and a whole convoy went to Camp Lucky Strike in France.
Okay.
And when we got there was no nothing for you to stay in. So when we got there they put up tents for us to stay in, and we slept on the ice. The ground was all ice.
Uh-huh.
And we slept on it. All we had was we got our own two blankets that we carried with us.
So you had your little knapsack
and whatever
else you pulled.
We had a duffel bag.
Yeah.
And had two blankets.
Oh, that's not a very comfortable experience.
And there were so many men there, and all we had was an open kitchen. There was no buildings at all.
Okay.
I had an open kitchen. You want to ask me something?
Yeah, I was going to ask. How, you said January, so you were 6 months after the United States invaded into France and took away from the Germans? So, did you guys end up going into, like, a German, like, camp, not like a concentration camp, but, like, camp where the soldiers stayed or anything? While you were, like, traveling to wherever to the railroad tracks in France or anything? Or?
He was in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like one of the German bases where you happened to, like, come across one of those.
Well, we started working, actually working.
Yeah.
And we went into Nancy, France. Okay. After we left Camp the Lucky Strike, went to Nancy, France. And the colonel said that I was replacement. So he sent me to Mr. Collin,
okay,
that worked there. But when I got there, we surrounded the Bolshevik army. I was surrounded. Massey was surrounded with Germans. So they didn't know why I was sent there, because they didn't need me.
Okay.
But anyway, it was just the Bolshevik going on.
They had a battle of Bolshevik.
They never took over the Massey column.
Yeah,
and then we started working. And when they took it over, when they opened it up, we started working. And my main job was, I went to, they had a crew in Ruderaar, Holland. That's a big soft coal mine.
Okay.
So that's what they needed for the engines, the soft coal. So I went there, and I worked there for a couple of months loading. When they loaded this boxcar, the cars were soft coal. I put them out, get them together, and put them out for the train going through, the express going through, pick them up, take them into Maastricht.
Okay.
So anyway, worked there for a while. Then they transferred me to another outfit where I went, was further up when I needed help. I went up to that outfit, and then I was there for a while. I was in seven different railroad outfits while I was there. But anyway, I went there for, well, the job I had there was delivering supplies. The English and Canadian armies had railroad battalions, but no railroads. They didn't have any trains or anything like that. They just had paperwork.
That's a waste of
personnel. Things like that. So I had one job I had. I delivered supplies, train loads of supplies, to the English at the Wolf One Way from the Holland up to Wolf One Way, and delivered supplies to the English army. And the other way to the Canadian Army. We delivered stuff like that for quite a while. And then we got so, when we went into the, over, what's the name of that river?
Where?
Huh?
In Holland?
Yeah, no, in the river in Germany.
The Rhine?
When we, huh?
The Rhine River? That's what I'm told there.
Not the Rhine. There's some other river there. I forget the name of it.
Yeah. Danube? I don't know, I'm throwing out rivers that I know in Germany.
No, they built the pontoon bridges across the water.
Okay.
For the tracks, just to take the train across. And sure enough, we took the train across into Germany. And then we started later taking supplies from Holland into Germany. And so many German soldiers were surrendering, and we take supplies all over. All the German soldiers into a concentration camp for the Germans, and take them up to the camp and bring supplies back and things like that. And from there, I went to Patton's army. I don't know, it was in Patton's army. That's the last army I was with.
Yeah.
It was Patton's army. And I stood there. I was going into the concentration camps, taking the displaced persons out of Germany, back to Master Column, and dropping them off, mostly Polish, displaced persons. And there was no litter. All of them, we had the biggest train I had was 5 days I had to hold them. We had no food, no water, nothing to give anybody. All we had was K rations ourselves to eat, so we had nothing for them. So we take the train back into Germany from the camp to Master Column and drop them off. And then the other train would take them back into Poland or wherever they were going.
Do you have any personal experiences or stories of the survivors of the concentration camps?
Well, in the concentration camp, when we first got there, there was only one train ahead of us, taking people out. When we got there, the Russians were there, and they told us we couldn't take any more people, we had to leave. And they said, we said, no, we were sent there. I told them, no, we were sent there to bring out people, and that's what we were there for. We had a whole empty train, about 90 cars, empty train. They call them wagons over there. It's much smaller than our cars here. Oh, anyway, we had about 90 of them. And they said that we had to leave without taking anybody. I said, no, we're not leaving. So they put us up against the wall and had a guy come with a truck, come with a machine gun and haul us there. And I don't know how long it was. It seemed like a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, finally, your American officers showed up. And they talked to one thing over, and finally they said, okay, you can load the train. They unloaded it. But the funny thing, not a funny thing, but an awful thing is, they had like a big witch's pot out in the middle of this concentration camp. And it was full of water. They built a fire under it, full of water. And what they used to do is cut cabbages up and throw cabbage. And that's what the people ate. It was cabbage soup, they called it.
Yeah.
And that's what the people ate in the concentration camp.
Right.
But there was one of them, of all the people that we loaded up, like I said, about 90 boxcars full of people. And there was, I don't think there was one of them that had any hair on their bodies or any weight or anything. It was so skinny and they didn't even look like human beings.
So like skeletons,
and, the one little one, people, women and children first when taken out, they were the first ones loaded. So I heard a lot of screaming, and these MPs come. The MPs was taking this man, dressed as a woman, off the train out of the car.
Yeah.
So he was hollering, and he said that he wanted to go back to wherever he come from, Poland, wherever. They wanted to go back, and they said, no, he couldn't go until the women were all out. And then there was a woman in there with a new baby. And he said that was his wife and it's your baby. And the woman denied it. She says, no, that's not my husband. She says, I don't even know him. But he just wants
to get
out of the camps up there.
Yeah.
And he said that it was his baby. But they wouldn't let him on until the men started loading. But there were so many of them. We had one train load of women and children. Just women and children in one train.
It's 90 cars, you said?
Huh?
It was 90 train cars before you said that.
Yeah,
boxcars.
What we call boxcars here, they call them wagons.
Yeah.
Over there, they're much smaller than our boxcars. Yeah, they only got, like our cars had trucks with four wheels on them.
Yeah.
They only had two wheels on each set of trucks.
Okay.
Such a small wagon.
And, how many times did you take trips into the concentration camps? Was it just once, or?
Oh, no, about four or five trips before the, I sent to Austria after that, just to wait to go home.
Yeah.
I went to Austria for, say, a month. I was there in Austria, and then they sent us back to Nancy, France, where the Alpha, I don't know, went to 752nd. I went home with. I was going to go home with them, but we were told we were going to Japan. The war was still going on there.
Yeah.
And we loaded the ship in the harbor. We were supposed to go to Japan. The ship was supposed to go, but we had a wreck, two ships hit going out. And we had a wreck, a big hole in the sides. So we went back in and we stayed there almost a month. Get the ship repaired.
And the bombs were
off. And by the time it was repaired, we went back to the United States instead of going to Japan.
Because the A-bombs hit Nagasaki and Hiroshima, right?
Before well, you,
the atomic bombs were
set off. I was no bomb that was, we shot at, you know. The Germans used to shoot at us going by the train.
I'm just saying that that's why you didn't go to Japan, because the bombs had already gone off.
Like the one train was blown up completely.
Oh, wow.
It was all
really?
Gas tanks going for the tanks. The train load of gas. And they had it in jerry cans, 5 gallon jerry cans, the whole train load. And I was blowing up the plane, blew that up. And the whole thing was killed.
Were you in Europe when they bombed Japan? Or were you back in the States by the time that happened?
What?
Were you in Europe still when they bombed Japan with the A-bombs? Or were you back in
the States? Oh, no, I was over there. Yeah.
You were still there?
Yeah. Yeah, when they dropped the atom bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was over there when they dropped the atom bomb.
And I assume there was a great sense of relief between you and your all the other men you were with over in Europe when you heard that Japan had surrendered. And
well, I tell you the truth, we were so disgusted with the whole thing that we wanted to get out, and we didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Same with when the Russians had us up against the wall with the machine gun I had pointed at us. The four of us was four to a crew.
Yeah.
And the four of us said, we didn't care, go ahead and shoot. We were so disgusted with the whole war. We didn't care. We just said, no, we're not leaving without people. So they, like I said, the American officers showed up and they talked it over and loaded it up.
Okay. And you spent time with General Patton, you said?
Well, I was in his army. I never seen
him. Never saw him. Never had any interactions with
him. In fact, when we got there, we was in a truck. There was four of us in a truck. And we about a week trying to get to this Patton's army. And all we had, was K rations. No water or nothing like that, just K rations to eat. And anyway, I was in his truck. And sure enough, we come into Patton's army. And see in the middle of the night, and we were by a place where we were having coffee and donuts. I know it's a Red Cross, one of them, right by there, so the truck driver stopped and says, let's go and have coffee and donuts. Of course, we needed shaves, we needed uniforms, were a mess and everything. And sure enough, we got out of the truck and started to go in, and the MPs come and grabbed us and says, where are you guys going? We told them we're going in for coffee and donuts. Haven't had anything like that. And a year. I says, oh no, you're in Patton's army now. You got to go out and get shaved and ties and everything on. Get all dressed up before you go in and get coffee. So he never did get coffee that night. And the truck driver, they held him because he, in the army, you're not allowed to leave it like a truck or a car, any vehicle alone. Somebody's got to stay with it. And he was going on with us to get coffee. So the MPs held him, let us go to our bases. But they held him, the truck driver, wouldn't let him go. And the other thing is, when you had a truck there or anything like that, before you get in it, you got to walk around it and make sure the truck and everything's fine with the truck before you get in it. And then when you get in, when I first went to Maastricht, like I say, we were surrounded. We couldn't run trains. So I said, they put me in a motor pool. At that time I had a chauffeur's license. They put me in a motor pool. And that's one of the things I had to do. I had to walk around a truck or a car, whatever they gave me.
And make sure
everything was all right, the tires and all were all right, and all that. In fact, once, funny thing, one time, I thought I was a truck driver. We were in a convoy with the trucks, and I thought I was a truck driver. Like the brother, some of them were very good, they were real truck drivers. But anyway, we were going in this convoy, and we were going through the woods, and I had a brand new truck. And we was getting the truck, of course, the trees were hitting it on the side and scratching it. So I seen this opening to go across. And I went out in the opening. We started going across the opening. The MPs all coming. It hadn't been tested for bombs or anything. And so they come and they wouldn't let me drive a truck. After that, they put me driving with the chapel. Yeah, they said I was a chauffeur. I wasn't a truck driver. I was a chauffeur. But he couldn't make me try to drive a chapel around. Well, I don't know what you're looking for now.
No, I'm just asking just about your experiences. And did you hear any like funny stories about General Patton or anything?
I never met him. But he must have been a nasty son of a gun, like I said. after being in the truck for a week with no nothing to eat but pay rations, nothing to drink or anything like that, and wanted a cup of coffee and couldn't get it because it was in patterns on. Had a tie and a shave and all that before he could go in.
So he made sure.
So he must have been awful tough on his men.
When you arrived home to America, what was your experience? Were like you in one of those big parades that went down Times Square?
It was right because I never had clean clothes when I come back because I had the same outfits I went overseas with. I was over there, say, over 2 years, running trains and all that. I had the same uniforms that I went over with. And the only way I got them washed was if I could get them up on the engine and take the hose off the engine and run hot water over the clothes. That's the only way to clean. And I never had any way to clean them. So I had the same uniforms when I went to Fort Dix. I come home, that's where I come home, and I didn't have a medal on, stripes and nothing on the uniform. Just a plain army uniform with nothing on it. And a dirty uniform.
Dirty army uniform.
Come home, and that's when I come home. My wife, I guess in them days, it was in the paper what ships was going to land.
Yeah.
And she knew I was on this one ship that was going to land in New York Harbor. So she knew that I'd be home pretty soon. But she didn't know exactly when. In fact, my mother was living with her.
Yeah.
My mother was living with us at the time. And my mother wanted to be home from work when I come, but my mother was working when I got home. But like I said, I felt like a real bum because I hadn't shaved or anything like that. We had bathrooms, but they were filthy. And rooms we were in weren't even finished. They were half finished. The bungalows were half finished. Weren't completely finished.
Wow.
So you could get cold water and that's all. You know, you couldn't really go in there and shave or use the toilet or anything like that because it was just dirty, you know. It was half done buildings. They weren't even finished. Like more like a, what do you call it? Tarp paper. That's what almost like the buildings are made of tarp paper. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
in Fort Dix. But the bathrooms, you couldn't even use them really. They were so dirty. And a funny thing, and I was in the gymnasium there, killing time. And this big black soldier come in. And he started exercising. He's a big fat guy, real fat. And he's come in and he's exercising and we're talking. And he couldn't talk very much. He could not really understand him. And he'd laugh. He'd say something, he'd laugh. I didn't know what he was saying. And sure enough, all of a sudden, all the guys come in with cameras taking pictures. It was Joe Louis. Joe Louis, I didn't even recognize him. He was so big and fat.
Yeah.
And I didn't even recognize him. And you know, these guys come in taking pictures. And I says, what's going on here? Why are you taking pictures of him? And I says, no, you know who that is? That's Joe Louis. One of the engineers I worked with was Jack Dempsey's nephew. He's Harold Dempsey. He was an engineer I worked with in Germany. And when I got back, Jack Dempsey had a big restaurant in New York at the time on 34th Street. And I had an invitation there in Fort Dix. They gave me an invitation to go to Jack Dempsey's restaurant. But Harold Dempsey was still there. And he was having a party there. And I was invited to the party. But the thing is, they said that if I went, I had to give up that time to being discharged. And it'd take another couple of days for me to get discharged. So I says, no, I want to go through the discharge. So I went through and got out. But if I would have went to Jack Dempsey's restaurant, I would have had another day or two in the Army. I said,
I
want to get out.
Go get home to your wife and kids.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. was missing.
Is that all you need?
That's good.
I hope it's all right.
No, it's great. It's great. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service, sir.